with you.
Kind of weird.
He said, "Kind of kind of weird."
You guys freaked me out because like you start like opening your eyes really wide.
Actually, didn't invite her home with
like this. Like they're like freaking out.
Yeah, why don't you invite Carson back here?
Yeah, she told him.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot.
What's new with you?
Just had a lot of concerts.
Dude, you should have told me about those. Did you have any this past week?
I had last week. Was
oh, last week. But not like this week, like Monday through Wednesday or nothing like that?
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. Now I would have came and checked it out. Because you're in jazz band too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
But we don't start those festivals.
The jazz band didn't even do anything for like a winter concert or something like that? Katie, what grade are you in? Katie, what grade are you in now?
Freshman.
At what school is this portal saying? Carney!
Woo!
That's right. No Caleb Bousquet tonight. Caleb is also going to be a Carney Bulldog. Is he? Maybe he's getting in on the younger kids' Christmas party over there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Where the real action is, yeah. Right on.
Oh, Caleb was over there.
That's what we just said. But you're really excited right now, so we're not gonna hold that against you. Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Really?
Everybody.
Morgan. Anything new with you? What's happening?
Are those words new or no?
No.
Are those words? Are the words new? The amazing? No, that's been there. Yeah. It's been there for a while.
I just noticed that.
Oh.
It's okay. I noticed that my gym above the mirror says you look gorgeous.
I just noticed that the gym has had pipings a couple weeks ago.
Let's do this. Let's hear from you all. Let's go around real quick. We'll start with Selena. What are you most looking forward to this Christmas?
Just getting opportunities with family. Oh
yeah, like your dad's side of it. He told me about your grandma. She's something else. The one that drinks the red things that are alcohol.
Oh, the
Bloody Marys.
Grandma, what was the oldest one?
The Mexican one, maybe.
Well, they're all Mexican.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're talking about. Yeah, they put that on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I was like,
okay.
Please.
So, getting opportunities with your family. Alicia!
What
is your little heart looking forward to this Christmas?
I think
we all are. Are you looking for a Christmas miracle?
I think, yes.
Dang. All I said is, what are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to a Christmas miracle? So, we're still waiting.
I think that's what my child is reserved right now.
So, yeah, Alicia, I don't know. You're just going to smile at me? Man.
He's not here.
Yes, he is. Over there.
He's in
the kids'
class.
Yeah,
he's here.
That's why she couldn't eat her dinner, because he was looking at her.
You are such a loser.
Eat your dinner, girlfriend.
We can have snacks.
Is that a movie?
Oh, funny looking. That's about it. Oh, gracias. Thank you. Alicia, we have yet to hear what you're looking forward to this Christmas. Let's go. You don't know.
Would you like me to make a guess?
Alright.
We won't torture Lisa anymore. Morgie.
Morgie, what are you looking forward to this Christmas? You're not going to ask Santa to grow anymore, are you?
Thanks. I don't know. I guess, like, just spending Christmas with my dad again.
Oh, right on. What side of the family is more fun?
My side. I'd have to say.
You gotta be careful. You got your cousin back there. Huh?
I don't know. They're both really different.
Very political answer. Very good. All right, Logan, what are you most looking forward to? Are you going back to Springfield?
No. Woo. We're actually leaving for San Diego on Tuesday.
What? Yeah. It's like a family vacation going on or something?
No, it's for a band.
Oh, wow, dude.
Trip. And drop out. My mom is going, so that'll be fun.
are you, okay, yeah, that's very facetious right there. So mom's going on a band trip.
Yes, my mom is going. She's
no,
a
I don't either. Band mom.
Yeah. Band mom, that's right. Well, they used to call them Band-Aids, and I was in band. They did. They really did. They called them Band-Aids. Hey, I got to hear Logan here, guys.
We're going to the San Diego Zoo.
Very popular zoo.
SeaWorld. And then we're going to, I think, it's the USS Midway. Hmm. It's like an aircraft carrier. They turned it into a museum.
Wow.
So that'll be super fun. And then we're playing at the Holiday Bowl.
Really? Who's playing?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on now. You gotta know that. All
right.
Come on now. Yeah.
You know, but you can see us on TV because we're going to be at the Holiday Bowl parade.
So at the parade, will you be doing anything during halftime? Will they have any of those?
Yeah.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
All right. I remember
like
that.
Ten high school bands that are doing the halftime show.
Okay. Nice. That's really
the parade
nice.
I know is on TV. It's on Fox Sports 1. And then I don't know about the halftime show if they'll show it on TV or
is this. That cable? Fox Sports 1?
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds pretty basic. Huh?
Fox Sports 1 is cable.
All right. I won't be seeing you. Unless I'm like over one of my relatives' house. What day is that, actually?
The 20th. I don't know. I think it's the 29th.
Okay, so that's next Friday, right? Because the 30th is Saturday, the 31st is Sunday. Yeah, next Friday.
Okay.
So, and you're going on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
We're like
time zone change.
Oh, I see, yeah.
No, it's crazy though. Like, it's like a 4-hour flight there. And, like, the ticket stamp says...
A 4-hour flight to California?
I think so.
Yeah. Is that are you riding a blimp?
Away.
No.
California's 2 hours.
I don't know
Chicago's
how long.
Chicago's 90 minutes.
Really?
I don't know how long it takes to get there.
California's a 2-hour flight.
Okay. Okay.
But, anyways, when we're leaving in the morning, but the time change, it says we're going to get back at, like late afternoon. So it's like...
Wow.
It's like 5
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, Jenny used to live in San Diego. Yeah, that's right. It was a good time, wasn't it?
It's really
2 hours. All right, Cody, what are you most looking forward to? You going to go looking for Rudolph again?
Oh, no school.
No school.
That's all I care about.
Nice. You don't want those freshmen picking on you anymore.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear what Amanda's looking forward to this year for Christmas. You guys are so...
Morgan, Angela, and Molly.
That's it.
Yep,
that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. And baby Matt.
Oh, I know what Mackenzie's looking forward to. She's got some cousins coming in on special delivery, boy.
Yeah, but they don't have to light the menorah.
Are you serious?
That's right. No, not Kwanzaa. No Hanukkah.
Okay, no marks on the table. Oh,
yeah. All right, so let's hear, Kenzie, what are you looking forward to?
I guess just for them coming, hanging out and stuff.
Wow, that is very high of you. That was very good. What about you, Lori? Are you looking forward to hanging out with Morgan, Angela, and Molly, too?
Yeah.
Especially more. Right.
They're your friends. Wow, that's good, man. That's really good.
Uh-huh.
What about you, Maddie? Oh, you're having it right now. She's having her Christmas right now. All right. Good stuff.
I'm excited to spend time with my family. And I asked for some pretty cool presents.
So all right.
Like a couch pouch.
Wait, what?
You need that couch pouch. We need to test it out.
All right, you guys can also know we're all riding.
Wait.
A couch that you... Know.
Maddie's gonna lay out what a couch pouch is. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's like,
all right, Maddie.
It's like an inflatable
Cody
chair, but it's like long and it's kind of like a
an inflatable chair that you put on a couch.
Yeah, okay.
This seems so excessive.
No, it's got like two air pockets, and you have to open it up and run into wind with it, and then close it.
Or you can do it like this, we just like open and close it really fast like that.
Exactly, that was my reaction. What you were saying.
And then you twist the side up, and you buckle it.
What is the point of this?
It looks like a tutorial.
And you sit on it on the couch.
No. Oh. Well, I mean, you could, but like,
it is a couch. So that makes more sense. I'm like, what the heck, man?
I'm either getting it in blue, pink, or purple.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure I'm getting it because I've stressed very much. Like, this is the thing I want.
Just like pool.
Number one. Oh, yeah, I got a pool for my
dog. Your dog's going to rip a hole.
An inflatable one.
Wow.
Why haven't we had a pool party with your inflatable
pool? We sleep
because it's like 2 foot deep.
No, why didn't you offer it for the baptismal? Why are we spending all this money on the baptism if you could have offered your pool?
Yeah, you guys,
wait, I have a question about this baptism.
Their skin would be in it while we're
oh. All right, Logan.
Are they going to buy like a thing that you like put in the ground?
Like a bathtub?
Or, like, how is it, like a hot tub?
This is going to be a sure enough river coming right through the church. Right
through the church. Will not be in the ground.
No.
Because we're in the basement.
Trey, pass me that paper towel.
I was about to say.
Like a shower.
All right, good. Kiki, what are you looking for? You got your, this is the only one here with Christmas spirit right now. Kiki's got her Santa shirt on.
Three or four really Christmas sweaters at Walmart or something.
For the food. What side of the family cooks better? Your mom's side or your dad's side?
My daddy's side.
They did Thanksgiving, right? Yeah, I talked to Todd, he said he did turkey and everything.
Yeah, we're not doing the regular traditional
food. We doing like Chinese food or something?
No, like some type of shrimp. I don't want that.
Like gumbo? That's good eating.
I don't want
it. Oh, dude. Forget it. Oh. You got good gumbo at Christmas. You take it. You take it, Kiki. All right, Trey. All right, I want to hear Trey. Trey, you're not looking forward to nothing for Christmas? Whoa, what is this?
Just to get out of school.
Trey just wanted to get out of school. What are you? Are you a senior or a junior?
Junior. I'm the only senior in here.
You're the only senior in here, that's right. All right, Katie, what are you looking forward to for Christmas?
The food.
The food? Now, who cooks? Are you talking about grandma and Christian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was there in January.
Did Justin, Jenny, or Angela want to talk about what they're looking forward to?
Okay. No school.
No school for Justin.
My birthday was October 2nd.
I like to watch people open their presents.
Wait, what did you guys do for Andy and Brent?
I'm excited for Justin to
open. Oh, they haven't talked yet.
So, Brady, oh, what'd you say, Angela? What are you excited for?
For Justin to open his presents for me in particular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
she's sad that he doesn't get to see me.
Wait, what? Justin opened your presents?
I can't wait for him to open the presents.
I'm not a great gift giver.
He's like an excellent gift giver. You know, when you exchange gifts with people like that, and you're just always like, I am the worst person in the world. This year, I did good.
Mm. I'm kind of like that too. I'm better at gift cards. Yeah.
I can write you a really sweet card.
Yeah, I know, dude. Sometimes I can. Sometimes when I can't, I don't know.
Gift cards speak.
What do you
yeah,
get,
exactly.
Jenny?
There you go. What did I get, Jenny? It's a surprise.
I want to wake up the baby.
Oh, so Brady and Brian. So the cool. Let me share this with you all, so that you can put this down with your parents. So. There's a certain amount of time you have before your kids realize the importance of Christmas. Take advantage of that. All right.
So you're not getting them. No, that's like
screw.
They're getting
coal. Coal. We want to teach them the value of coal and natural fuels and things like that.
That's
so.
That's what
some coal.
Yeah.
Was it done or chocolate?
No, it was coal.
It was actually coal. No, actually, a couple of them, I didn't want Jenny to even be surprised by them, so I can't say yet. But,
Ooh, you bought them stuff?
I did.
Our dad is
were they there?
Yeah, they weren't paying attention, though. To them, it was just boxes going to the cart. They didn't know what was going on. Yeah.
He has gone to.
You know what I do for Riker?
What
I just put one of his old toys back in the box.
Very good. No. The funny thing about Brady, you guys have given him so many things. He still has toys in the garage that we haven't opened from his first birthday.
So. I take a toy away that he's loved for a month. Don't forget about it.
Back there you go.
Clean it up. This is my favorite board. Alive, and then he's like, your lesson. I was like, aww.
Oh, conviction.
He just kept asking. He's like, who's this for? When are we going to give it to? Because he thought it was for somebody else. Is this a present for somebody? What is the party? Can you give it to us?
Technically,
come sit down.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
He's like, that is actually for you.
Hey, John.
All right. Warren has a story.
Yes.
What'd you tell him?
Just a private meeting as well.
Yeah, he said he was supposed to be surprised.
Driving
right now.
Oh,
thank
man.
You, Mom.
Well, alright, let's.
That's so cute.
Pass out the hymnals if we haven't already. I think everybody has another chair.
Eat your food.
Man, why would we sing Christmas songs right now?
This is the time we need to sing all Christmas songs.
I know. Justin knows. No, sir. I thought he was like standing up. I was going to try to hit him.
All right, stand on your feet.
I'll ask him for Easter. I'm going to
get one.
What's your
call it?
It doesn't matter.
Was taking a mess.
Was it a year old or?
Last Friday was my last full day of high school ever.
Today, me and Haley drank orange juice that expired on October.
Last Friday was my last full day of high school.
We did that on recording and we were drinking it really
I said full day.
So from here on out, you're just doing like half days?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why'd you keep drinking?
No, we took a drink after dinner. So I tasted it. She tasted it.
It's all over.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I just grabbed it.
All right.
No, we're talking about Hawaii.
Don't remember. 102.
No, we should.
We want Christmas.
We can only sing Christmas songs. We can't sing anything else.
We can't sing nothing else.
No, I want to sing 292 because we haven't seen that ever since.
102.
No, it's one. Oh,
I'm just looking.
This is like a Christmas song, Logan. It's about him being born.
Don't push your chair. You're going to push on trash.
Surely good.
All right, we'll sing that, too.
292 is me and Logan's favorite song.
All right, we'll look at that one in there, too.
292?
What's 292? It's by, probably.
You used to really like that song?
Oh, yeah.
He liked it because we never sung the end part, even though we're supposed to.
We should.
We couldn't because we used to butcher it.
I think we should. Just kidding.
So.
Well, if you want to sing it, you guys can go at it.
All right, let's pray, and we'll get rolling here. Logan, open us up, please.
All right, dear Lord, Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Please bless this time that we have together to learn more about you, and please let us use these hymns to prepare our heart for the message that Zach has. And please help us learn from what Zach has and have it touch our hearts, and we can use it to help other people. And ask you in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Does anybody remember this song, 102? Jesus, Wonderful Lord. We've sung it a couple of times. I want this melody to get imprinted into your mind, so let's sing verse 1, and I'll keep singing it based off of how much I think we need.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
So, for New Year's, are we doing a song?
No, we're not doing anything for New Year's because we're not doing like the blowout thing. We're just doing a Bible study. So,
Are we doing leadership on the 31st?
No, and no leadership on the 31st.
Because I was
skipping it.
I'm still going to take off work.
Could like, you know what you guys do? Like, you all have a part.
Yeah. No, we need to learn parts.
We could all have like bass, baritone.
I love it.
Tenor, alto.
I would definitely love to do that.
Okay.
Alright, here we go. 102, born among cattle. Jesus, wonderful Lord. Here we go. Born among cattle in poverty sore, living in meekness by Galilee shore, dying in shame as the wicked one swore, Jesus, wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, He is my friend, true to the end. He gave Himself to redeem me. Jesus, wonderful Lord. On the first. Born among cattle in poverty sore, living in meekness by Galilee shore, dying in shame as the wicked one swore, Jesus, wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, my friend, true to the end, He gave Himself to redeem me, Jesus, wonderful Lord. Weary yet He is the world's only rest, hungry and thirsty with plenty has blessed, tempted He promises grace for each test. Jesus, wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. He is my friend, true to the end. He gave Himself to redeem me. Jesus, wonderful Lord, friend of the friendless, betrayed and denied, help of the weak in Gethsemane cried, light of the world in gross darkness He died. Jesus, wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, You are my friend, true to the end. He gave Himself to redeem me, Jesus, wonderful. On the chorus, one more time. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, He is my friend, true to the end. He gave Himself to redeem me, Jesus, wonderful Lord. All right. Let's do number 84 first. Number 84. So, if you're not familiar with this, we'll read the notes in here. This is going to be the same melody as Our Great Savior, which is... got a lot of phlegm in there tonight. Sometimes you just gotta be honest with your voice. Alright, here we go. Number 84.
Come, how long expected Jesus, born to set my people free. Him our fears.
Alright, so this one's a little bit different. We're gonna have both verses are right there in number one. Number one again, here we go.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let joy of every longing heart, born my people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thy own eternal spirit, ruling all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
86.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh.
Who in here still sleeps in the cradle?
Me.
All right, Kiki, though. All right. Verse number 3.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever,
and love me, I pray.
Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven
to live with thee.
All right, 87.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior. Heavenly song, whoa. Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, when you reign, with us sing our Savior's birth.
Put your hands up for 91. Who wants to hear that train wreck again? Logan, you must not have been here when you sung it last time.
Oh, it was good. It was real good.
So you got one. All right.
You dropped your paper, buddy.
Oh, but the phrasing over those notes, man, it was killing me last time.
How about for 91 as well? Because I want to hear you do it.
All right. What about 92, 93, or 94? 92, raise your hands. A Little Town of Bethlehem.
We should do 94.
Narrow one. 93, Hark the Hairy Angels Sing. Oh, 93.
94.
All right. You want to recount? Yeah. All right, we'll start with 93. We'll get that one in for sure. All right, here we go. How does that go? Oh yeah, let's take it higher.
That was awful.
I almost want to try that. Just one verse. There we go.
No.
Oh man, we need Aaron here to do his high opera voice.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Hark the herald angels sing. Hark the herald angels sing. Drop that. Okay, there it is. There we go. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled.
Now a place, send thy image
my favorites. 100.
All come, all the faithful.
You just passed it. My hand hurts.
I really love the chorus on this one. This song can be sung any time of year. All right, 100. Here we go.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, for the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee on this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Take your seats. Take your seats. All right.
Where are we going to go today? Where are we going to go? Turn to first. I'll turn to Colossians first.
So it's Christmas time again. Yeah. And nothing says December in the holiday season like Christmas. You know, there's very few things or insights into the religious time of year like Christmas. Very few things spark everyone's, you know, spiritualism like this holiday. And I want to kind of talk about that a little bit today. The truth about Christmas. Looking at some things like that, some of the misconceptions about Christmas and how we apply it to our lives today as Bible-believing Christians. One of the things you guys might have noticed, even since Donald Trump's election, that when he got elected, it kind of marked a turning point, or at least a change of pace for many things. And when compared to the previous administration, you know, he's chosen to place an emphasis on many of their opposites. And without getting into like all the details of politics, just some basic things that anybody would be able to see. And one of those things was the emphasis that he wanted to bring back on God and the many Christian traditions that make up the identity of our country. Where in the previous years, you may have heard the phrase Happy Holidays or seen the abbreviations Merry Xmas used a lot more often, now you're boldly seeing an effort to make Christmas great again. You know, like he's, I've heard him say even. Some of those expressions you may hear included more are things like Keep Christ in Christmas. Remember the reason for the season. That's one of my mom's favorite things that she used to always tell us. Jesus is the reason for the season. And not only that, she has a big poster over her front door that says happy, or in her front walk-in that says Happy Birthday, Jesus, around this time. So everywhere you look, it seems like there are nativity scenes displayed in the front yards, Christmas trees in the churches, and even special hymns and songs that are more prevalent during this time of the year. And one of the most shocking I heard on the radio, I think 94.9, was this song called Mary's Boy Child. You guys heard that song? Mary's Boy Child. It's like sung by some Jamaicans or Islander people or something like that. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it because I got to do the thing and everything, but I'm not going to do that. All right. I'm not going to do it. All right. I'm going to do it. Now this point. All right. So it goes, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. A man will live for, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible said, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark, now hear the angels sing. A king was born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, they see a bright new shining star. They hear a choir sing a song, the music seemed to come from afar. Hark, now hear the angels sing, a king was born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Now this is special, the references to this song. This might not seem like much for churchgoers, but this was played on a classic rock station, 102.1 and 94.9, another radio station that normally, you know, they might run the risk of getting sued for using the name of Jesus Christ. But around this time of year, it seems like they have the liberty to do those things without any type of lawsuits coming their way. And it's all because of this season and the implications that surround it. So this kind of got me thinking, you know, what does the Bible say about holidays? What does the Bible have to say about the holidays? I got thinking of the origins of Christmas in history. A question came up, did the first Christians celebrate Jesus' birth the way that we do today? What are some of the common misconceptions about this holiday? And tonight, we're going to look at the history and the answers that the Bible has for these questions. Some of the common misconceptions, and how do we apply the holiday of Christmas to our lives today? So that's my goal. All right, so let's see. Question number one. Where does Christmas come from? Answer, Christmas comes from the mixing of paganism with Christianity. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go ahead and get out of here. That's about it. That's about the end of my lesson right there. So that whole lesson could be summed up that quickly. Christmas comes from the mixing of paganism with Christianity. But for the sake of tediousness, let's go ahead and walk through the Bible now. And because we actually didn't pray, did we? That's why you guys were so serious about bowing your heads. All right, joke's on me. All right, well, let's actually go to the Lord in a word of prayer and pray before we get into our lesson. Dear Lord, thanks for the time we got to spend together tonight, Lord. Even the time in song service. I enjoyed a lot of those things that we sung, Lord. And now I look forward to just what you took time to give me out of the Bible. Father, I pray that this thing won't be mundane or redundant for the kids, God. Even if they heard this stuff before, you said sometimes that's needful that we might get it down, Lord. Price of learning is repetition, and I pray and ask that maybe the second time that they hear some of these things, Father, you would inspire them on how to apply it to their lives. Maybe there are people out there that they can start small conversations with that will lead to something greater that you can do with them by getting some of these facts down that we're going to cover tonight. I just look forward to what you have for us, and pray that you would bless everyone as they go out of here and enjoy their time this holiday season with their families. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Alright, so let's start there. What does the Bible say about the holidays? What saith the scriptures? Alright, well, you're not going to find, number one, you're not going to find the word holiday in the Bible. The closest thing you're going to find is the word holy day. And it's going to be one word, H-O-L-Y-D-A-Y. Alright? And over there in Colossians chapter 2, anybody that's got the book of Colossians open, chapter 2, go ahead and read what you find there. Colossians chapter 2. And read verse 16.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days.
Yeah. So when holiday shows up, are we charged to get excited about those things and observe them, or are we charged not to pay them much attention? What does the Bible say there? Logan, did you pick that up when you were reading?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, when it comes to holidays, does this verse charge us or encourage us to observe those things and get excited about them? Or does it kind of just say in passing, don't worry about them, it's not that big a deal? What's the Bible's attitude towards holidays based off of this verse?
Well, before it says in respect of,
Okay, pick it up at the beginning of it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holiday or the new moon or the Sabbath days. So is that kind of throwing you guys off the word in there? You're not even sure what it's getting at, basically. The whole, what's that, Lauren? Go ahead. No, I want to hear it. Yeah, it's not a huge deal. It's pretty much, if you like it, cool. If you don't like it, it's not a big deal. It's not one of the things that God says you need to, write down in your Christian book of fundamental things that you got to have in order to make it into heaven and to get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. All right? It's something that the Bible says it's not that big a deal. Paul talks about it again over in Romans 14. He talks about one man, observeth one day above the other. Another one, it doesn't mean much to him at all. If the person that you're hanging out with thinks a lot about it, well, for his sake, go ahead and observe it with them. That's how God looks at stuff like that. So when it comes to holidays, you're going to find that when it comes to New Testament Christians and their observance of holidays, you're going to find that they really didn't do it. The closest thing that you find that the New Testament Christians did was they set aside one day a week to have church on, and then every now and then they got some time set aside to have communion in the Lord's Supper. So if Christians didn't make a big deal about the holidays, the question comes up, where does all this come from? You know, faith and holidays and family and stuff like that is a big part of America, of our culture. So the question comes up, where did that come from? All right, come over here to Galatians chapter 4. Alright, Galatians chapter 4, pick it up here in verse 8. And Paul here in this whole chapter is laying out to these guys about how when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he separated them from all of the requirements that they had under that Old Testament law. His job was to redeem them from the law, that we wouldn't have to worry about the law anymore. But some of these guys are starting to hold themselves subject to certain rituals and things, and Paul brings it up here in verse 8. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 through 11 says this: Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. What does that mean? He's saying before you knew God, or before you were saved, you used to worship other gods. Okay? That's verse 8. Verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather, are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Basically saying, now that you're saved, why are you going back to worshiping these idols that used to hold you bondage, used to be your masters? Verse 10, ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So verse 8 right there shows that the Galatians had been converted from the pagan worship of other gods. All right, verse 9 says that some turned again to worship those gods, but this time while they are saved. The days and times they were observing were the days and times set aside to worship the pagan gods. And what you find when you study history and you go back is later on when the Catholic Church began to evangelize its converts, this is the same way that they Christianized with the pagan practices that were already familiar to them. Basically, our holidays are simply a result of Rome mixing the religion and beliefs of its conquered pagans into their church-state religion of Christianity. The holidays are nothing more than Rome mixing the religion and beliefs of conquered pagans into their church-state religion of Christianity. How many of you guys in here have learned about what a church-state is in school? Logan. All right. Is that word even familiar to you all? Church state, a church state system. Okay, Maddie, you heard about that too? What, do you want to share anything that you know about church state?
Isn't it like where there's a country and it's controlled by the church?
Yeah, it's basically a marriage between a religion and the state. So right back then, let's just use them back then. When you were born in Rome, you were born as a Roman citizen. Today, if you're born in America, you're born as an American citizen. Now, check this out. Is Christianity the only religion that's observed in America? No. So, you can be born an American citizen, but that doesn't make you a Christian, right? I know sometimes we, just to be, you know, general and simple, we refer to anyone that's born in the West as we call the West Christian nations or whatnot, based off of the missionary movements and all their, or, you know, the originations of them. But when you're born in America, you are not automatically a Christian. But back in the day, when you were born in Rome, around the time of the 4th century or whatnot, you were automatically a Roman citizen and a Roman Catholic, because it was a church-state system. The state was the church, and the church was the state. They were married together. So the moment that you became a Roman citizen, you also became a part of the Catholic Church. So with this, when Rome, imagine that. You're going, you're Rome, you've got this huge empire, you're going around, you're conquering all these people, and that's what you do. Instead of making them drop their religion and drop their gods and stuff like that, since it's a phony conversion, you say, you know what? Just bring your religion into this church. And that's pretty much where a lot of these Christian holidays, or what we observe as Christian holidays, end up getting their roots from. You can't find them in the New Testament served with the apostles or anything like that. You have to go back and know that they were brought into the Roman Catholic Church when they were going around taking captive many pagans. Cyril Bailey states in his book, The Legacy of Rome, that pagan Rome was assimilated into her system, or pagan Rome assimilated into her system the gods and religions of various pagan countries in which she ruled. So the idea is that you let them keep their rituals, you let them keep their traditions, but you put a layer of Christian makeup on them so that it can be part of the church. So back then, when they used to worship the Queen of Heaven and her reincarnated son husband, you don't call it, you know, Isis and Osiris. You don't call it Semiramis and Tammuz. Instead, you call it Mary and Jesus. You put some Christian makeup on it. You let them celebrate Ishtar, but instead of celebrating it as the her as the goddess of fertility, or that season as the fertile holiday, instead you call it Resurrection Sunday. June 24th was the day that the Druids would make great bonfires in honor to Baal. They were very demonic people that did a lot of witchcraft and crazy things like that. But when it got conquered by Rome, since this great holiday in June 24th was only 6 months away from Christmas, they said, you know what? John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus Christ. Let's just call this St. John's Day. And that's what you got. Since John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus Christ, they turned the holiday into St. John's Day, and they called them St. John's Fires. Remember what John preached? He preached hellfire and damnation to people. He said, bring forth fruit of bring forth fruits for repentance, or get ready to be baptized in fire. You see how that stuff associates itself together? And then our last one, the one that we're talking about today, Christmas. Before it was Christmas, it was called Saturnalia in Rome, or Natalia Invicti, before, by the Romans. And this is a widespread winter festival celebrated in the pagan world, and it marked the birth of the sun. But once again, you don't take this away from them. Instead, you just say it's for Jesus' birth, because in Malachi 4:2, he's called the Son of Righteousness. So now, you can marry Old Testament Baal worship, sun worship, with the New Testament Bible Christianity. All right, so now why did the birth of Jesus become such an important celebration? Well, for the Romans, it was originally an old feast for the birth of the sons, or what they called Sol, the name of their sun god. And this religion was called Mithraism. And it was the largest and most notable pagan cult to celebrate December 25th as a holiday in the Roman and Greek world. This winter festival was called the Nativity of the Sun. And at the beginning of Christianity, Rome was the major leader in the world, and she had absorbed many different cultures and beliefs into her own. In 313 AD, under the Edict of Milan, finally, Constantine decriminalized Christianity for the first time since it was criminalized back in 64 AD. And then in 380 AD, the Edict of Thessalonica made it the first official religion state, or whatever, church-state religion. Now, once this happened, the phony new Christian empire had to find a way to make all its false pagan converts get in line with its latest scam. So how did they do that? It's what I just said. You take the greatest pagan tradition and custom, which was the worship of the sun, and now you focus it around Jesus Christ. Instead of calling it a mass for Christ, they called it a Christ Mass, or Christmas. And that's how that thing came about. So now the birth of the sun was replaced by the birth of Jesus Christ.
Now, let's get back to this whole switcheroo and see what really happened. When you look at the Bible and when you study what was mostly important to true Bible believers back in the day, you find that the real Christians of history celebrated Christ's death a lot more than they celebrated his birth. God gave us two ordinances, and both of those ordinances are given to remember Christ's death, not his birth. You guys remember what those two ordinances are that God gave to the church? Actually, just anybody that's going through discipleship lesson two should know this. One of them is
communion.
Communion and the Lord's Supper. And what's the other one? It's where you get dunked, where you get wet. What we're about to put in? Baptism. Right. Baptism. What's baptism about? It's about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's about the death, burial, and the resurrection. Okay? And the second one is communion. Well, what's communion about? All right? Turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The point we're looking at right now is that the true church was much more crazy about Jesus Christ's death than they were his birth. This thing about celebrating Jesus Christ's birth is something that was pagan. It's something that was ushered into the church just to please other pagans that were brought in under a phony conversion. The whole Christmas story about, remember that song I read to you? Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. That's what it's based off of. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. Let's look at this ordinance and see if it deals with Christ's birth or his death. Alright, it says this in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Remember when you were born, Jesus? I don't know, let's keep reading. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." I don't think he shed his blood at his birth. I don't think he broke his body at his birth. Look at verse 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's birth till he come." So you guys see how that thing works out there? No, it said, "You do show the Lord's death till he come." The true church was oftentimes admonished to remember Christ's death, not his birth. They placed way more emphasis on Christ's death than his birth. As a matter of fact, even Catholics in their Catholic encyclopedias say that Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of their own church. It wasn't until the end of the 4th century that the Roman Catholics began observing December 25th as a holy day. Notice it's not the disciples, Paul, or the church fathers. In the 5th century, Christmas was established as the birth of Christ to be forever observed by the church. Now, I said the 5th century, guys. Do you guys know what time that is as far as in 80 years, the 5th century? Because I didn't used to understand that. Somebody would say, like right now, they'd say we're in the 21st century. What does that mean, the 21st century? Yeah, but it threw me off because I was like, we're in the year 2000. We're not, how can we be 21?
Well, it's because, like, the year zero is the first century.
Very good. See, Logan, you're way smarter than me. See, I didn't figure that out until, like, way after high school. So, maybe I did. I'm just saying that so you guys don't feel bad either or something like that. So, yeah. So, anyway, this is how goofy this is. Just like when we talk about, you know, the modern American cults that came around, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Church of Christ and stuff like that. And we always say that their religions are goofy because they have no history. They all started in the 1800s. It's kind of the same thing with this emphasis that we put on Jesus Christ's birth. If Jesus Christ was born, we say like back in 0 AD, okay? That's the year of our Lord. We're starting counting from there. And they don't start celebrating his birth until the 5th century, around the year 400 AD. Do you think that the true church really cared that much about his birth? Not at all. Guys, America has only been around for 241 years. That's how old the nation is right now. So what that is, that's like us 159 years from now, when we're finally 400 years old. In the year 2176, someone comes up with the brilliant idea of, hey, let's start celebrating George Washington's birthday. All right, that's how goofy that is. Do you think it's a big deal? Of course not.
In the Bible, a man's death is far more important than his birth. Now, here's my question for you all. Let's get some critical thinking going. Why is that? Why would God say a man's death is so much more important than his birth? I want to see what you guys, I want to get some feedback on this and hear what you guys have to say on that. Why in the world would a man's death be more important than his birth? Amanda?
Because this life is not important, and when you're born like physically into this world, but then when you die, you're like being, like you're either going to heaven or hell, and that's the life that's more important.
It's where you're going to be forever, right? Absolutely. There's an eternal importance on that. Anybody else want to add to that? I know one thing Bob has talked about, what he likes to do more, funerals or weddings, and he said funerals because they last longer. The people stay dead. He said most marriages, they end in divorce. You know, that's the whole thing. Death is a final action. It's the final spot for you. All right, turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. The Bible says man's death is more important than his birth. Well, where does it say that, Zach? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Someone that gets to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, read verse 1 in your big voice. Now, Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament, right after Proverbs.
A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth.
All right, read that one more time, Selma.
A good name is better than a precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth.
So good character, let's call it a good name. That's maybe a simpler way for you guys to understand how we talk today. Your good character, your good reputation is more important than you smelling good or looking good or dressing well. There's plenty of people in Hollywood that look good, dress well, and do all that stuff like that, but they got the morals of an alley cat. They got the morals of a possum, okay? Somebody wouldn't want to leave your kids around. The Bible says also, likewise, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. That's the clear thing right there, and Amanda pretty much nailed that thing on the head. Once you die, that's an eternal thing. The choices you made in life, they end up determining your eternal death. And what's eternal death really like? It's eternal life. Everybody is going to live forever, guys. You understand that, right? Nobody in here, once they die in this flesh, is done existing. It's not like you go somewhere and don't exist anymore. All this life is a physical body to make an eternal choice in. And once that choice is made, you step out and you live eternal life, either in heaven, in paradise, or in hell, in torment. That's why the day of one's death is more important than the day of one's birth. We're all born the same. You know, generally speaking, we're born the same. We're naked. We're dependent. We're possessing more potential than life. And after a life full of choices and trades and having developed character that leaves behind a legacy, we approach death. Our birth is the fruit of someone else. Our entry into this world is the product of someone else. But our death, it has our signature on it. It's kind of like that old saying goes, we dig our own grave. And when it comes to understanding a man, you know, his death is a better testament of his life than his birth. Imagine trying to judge a man just based off of him being born instead of waiting until he lives a full life and judging him based off of his death. Listen to this real quick. If you guys knew a woman who was pregnant, who had 8 kids, 3 of them were deaf, 2 of them were blind, 1 was mentally retarded, and she also had syphilis while she's pregnant, would you recommend that she have an abortion? Now, you might be thinking, well, yes is what I'm thinking, but I can't say that because I'm around Christians and abortion is wrong. All right? I'm going to read that again. If you knew a woman who was pregnant, who had 8 kids already, 3 of them were deaf, 2 were blind, 1 was mentally retarded, and while she's pregnant with this 8th child, she has syphilis, would you recommend that she have an abortion? So far, she has a pretty terrible track record. The kids aren't healthy. It would almost seem cruel to bring such a person into this world, right? So we got some no's. I don't want you to answer that necessarily, but we got some no's and some yeses and some I don't know's looking and stuff like that. But my whole point is you can't judge somebody based off of their birth, because watch this. If you said yes, then you would have just killed Beethoven, because this is his mother. Unbelievable. And he was born deaf. Yet, one of the greatest humans, as far as humanism is concerned, became one of the greatest composers. You guys know, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. That's Beethoven. All right? Some of the most beautiful melodies that ever come into existence came from him. That's why you can't judge a man based off his birth. Imagine judging some of these men in the Bible based off their birth. You guys remember the birth of Joseph? He was born the 11th child to a wealthy yet isolated nomad that lived in the wilderness of Chaldea. What about Moses? He was born to a slave, yet raised in royalty under Pharaoh's daughter. If I were to judge both of these babies based off their birth, I would say, well, Joseph will be all right, but he's just going to be a nomad wandering around like his father out there in the desert. Moses, on the other hand, you know, he was born a slave, but he's going to end up living in royalty. He'll probably end up becoming a nobleman in Egypt. What happened at their death? All right, at Joseph's death, he died the governor of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. That's the son of a nomad. What about Moses? He dies a nomad and wanderer in Mount Pisgah, only to be exhumed and recharged at a later date. Weird, you can't judge them off their birth. How about David and Solomon? David, born the youngest of eight, keeper of his father's sheep, just a lowly shepherd. What about Solomon? Born to the greatest king that ever lived in royalty. How they die? David dies as God's first king and the standard for all others to follow. Solomon died in idolatry that led to the demise of Israel, and he's possibly in hell tonight. You can't judge a man off of his birth. That's why the Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death, the day of death, than the day of one's birth. Now lastly, real quick, I want to tie all this stuff together for you guys and show you why, even though I know the history of Christmas, I understand where it came from, I understand the pagan origination, even though I understand the Catholic deception, I also understand the modern application of Christmas. And that's why I choose to celebrate it. Because all in all, I want to be smarter than the problem. That's one of my favorite things that Bob oftentimes says is, you know, you got to be smarter than the problem. That means you got to understand the time, the day and age that you live in. Don't follow the standard stereotypes that most people give to Christians. Understand the way people are looking at things and be smarter than the problem. Jesus Christ called that being wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. All the stuff that I talked about tonight, let's be honest about it, guys. Very few people know about those roots. But here's something that's even more honest. You guys can say amen to this and write me a letter, maybe. Very few people know about those roots, but I guarantee you even less of them care about those roots. All right? I had to keep, I needed to go to the restroom before I did this thing, but I didn't do it just to keep myself awake, talking about some of this boring historical stuff that I covered tonight, okay? Very few people know about these roots, but I guarantee even less of them care. You see, we live in a generation where ignorance is bliss. We hate to be awoken from our slumber of ignorance by the cold hard facts. But you gotta understand that. That's not something to get mad about, that's something to understand and then adapt to. Another example of that, something that I crack up about, you find most, when it comes to election time, most blacks will vote for Democrats, even though you look at the history of it, you find that they've been treated the worst by them. Why is that? Because we look at the cold hard facts? No, we listen to what people say, and if it sounds good, we'll go with it. The people have done many studies, and they found out that when it comes to poverty in families and things like that, most of the time it's because of people being raised in single-parent households and things like that. So what does the world do for a solution? Do they start saying, hey, you guys need to get married. Hey, there's a certain order that God gave to everything, and if you follow that order, then you can avoid some of these simple physical things that take place. No, the solution is to offer free abortions instead. That's the simplicity of our world that we live in today. And we live in a day and age where most Christians they're more scared of homosexuals than they are the devil's Bible. Now, which one do you think God cares more about? Which one do you think God is more of a danger? See, that's the thing that I'm talking about. These are the cold, hard facts of the day and age that we live in, but at the same time, it's stuff that people really don't care about, so you got to understand that. The bottom line of what I'm getting to is this. Christmas, even though it has a pagan origin, even though it's brought in by the Roman Catholic Church, at the same time, you got to understand how it's viewed today by most people that you live with. Christmas is viewed by most people as a time of peace, as a time of hope, as a time of merriment, as a time of family and union and unity, and any other theme that you might find on the Hallmark Channel. Because of this, a Christian should support it. The Bible says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. If it generally has a good connotation to it, and you as a Christian are supposed to be someone that's good, and the world associates you with good things, then get behind it. Look at this. There's a really astonishing example I want to read to you guys that happened back in World War I. It's called the World War I 1914 Christmas Truce. Now, these are people that are blowing each other's heads off, pouring mustard gas on each other, living through trench warfare, not knowing if the next moment they're going to be dead and out in eternity. But watch what happens on this Christmas Day. What's my point of bringing this up? Christmas to the world is a good thing. Therefore, a Christian should get behind it. All right. Roughly 100,000 British troops and German troops were involved in the unofficial cessations. That just means the process of ending or bringing to an end. The unofficial cessations of hostility along the Western Front. The first truce started on Christmas Eve, 1914, when German troops decorated the area around their trenches in the region of Ypres, Belgium, and particularly in St. Ivan, called St. Ives, where Captain Bruce Bairnsfather described the troops. This is what he said about it. The Germans placed candles on their trenches and on Christmas trees, then continued the celebration by singing Christmas carols. The British responded by singing carols of their own. The two sides continued by shouting Christmas greetings to each other. This is entrenched warfare, folks. Soon thereafter, there were excursions across no man's land, where small gifts were exchanged, such as food, tobacco, and alcohol, and souvenirs such as buttons and hats. The artillery in the region fell silent. The truce also allowed a breathing spell where recently killed soldiers could be brought back behind their lines by burial parties. Joint services were held. That means some of the Germans came over and paid their respects to some of the men they just killed. Joint services were held. In many sectors, the truce lasted through Christmas night, continuing until New Year's Day in others. Now, if that's the importance the world places on a holiday to stop killing each other when just the next day they're going to be right back at it, imagine how stupid you look crying out with righteous indignation, "Beware of the bell pole! Christmas is of the devil! December 25th is the devil's birthday!" But there's some Christians that go to that extreme based off of the facts that they have. If most people viewed Christmas that way, then I would decry it too, to show my separation from it, because the Bible tells me to separate myself from that stuff, come out from among it. But since they don't, my intolerance would then look like an attack on everything good. Therefore, my evil or my good would be evil spoken of. Here's a question. If you don't celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday during Christmas, do you celebrate it in September? None of the folks that take it to that extreme that I know do it. So what's their solution? Their solution is to bring no attention to Jesus Christ at all. All in all, a Christian ought to know the truth. The Bible said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." All right? A Christian should know the truth. This is knowledge. But even greater than knowledge is wisdom. This is how that knowledge is applied. This is why Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, according to, wait for it, God, said this: "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." A wise man once said to me, "If the devil is going your way, then ride him. If the devil's going the same direction you're going, ride him." You know, do you think the people that Judas Iscariot healed were any less healed than those healed by the other apostles? Of course not. God allowed Judas, who he called the devil, to heal them just like he did Peter, James, and John. So what I have to say to you kids tonight is, if the world wants to take a pagan holiday and use it to turn people's attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, then ride it. Go along with it. Go for it. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. You know, some of the ways my parents used to do that for me when I was coming up, they used to take little candy canes And they would say, now, Zachary, you see this here? When you hold it like this, it's in the shape of a shepherd's staff. That's because Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. Yeah, but what if you turn it upside down, Mom? Okay, then it's in the shape of a J for Jesus. All right. All right, what does the red on that candy cane represent? It represents your skin. So your skin. Your sin. Maybe if you're an Indian or like Angela, you can have red skin or something like that. All right. It represents your sin. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, 18, though your sin be as scarlet. All right, what does that white represent? It represents the whitest snow after salvation. All right, you take that J or that shepherd's staff. Once that true shepherd dies for the sheep, though your sin be as scarlet, it should be white as snow. Whoop-de-doo. When the people that made the candy canes made them, it probably had nothing to do with that. Take everything in the world and use it for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. That's all. Be smarter than the problem. You say, what about Santa Claus? All right, he's got the red garment. The Bible says in Revelation, when he comes back, he has a garment dipped in blood. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ having white hair for his judgment, for his wisdom. Santa has white hair. Santa cries out, ho, ho, ho. All right, no jokes on that one. Okay, ho, 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 what's that for? What about the cherubim up there in heaven? Holy, holy, holy. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. He's coming down from the north. That's where we'll be coming back with Jesus Christ. Santa rides on reindeer, where Jesus Christ will be riding on a horse. He comes bearing gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about Jesus Christ when he set captivity captive, bringing gifts unto men. Not only that, he's got an all-seeing, omniscient eye that keeps an account of who's doing good and who's doing bad. Take it and use it for God's honor and glory. So that's a good quote to end on. If the devil's going your way, then ride him. If the world wants to take a pagan holiday and use it to turn people's attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, then ride it. All right, let's pray, guys. Dear Lord, thanks for the time we got to spend just going through some of those things, Lord. You know, it's good just to understand where the things that are happening around us come from, God, the origination of that, just so that we're not, you know, deceived by the devil or any of his wiles. We're not beguiled by him. Father, I pray and ask that the kids will be able to take something that I said tonight and you'd be able to use it for their honor and glory. And we look forward to what you're going to do with them. Love them. Thank you for their attention. Help them to forget any goofiness that didn't need to be in there. And we'll just be sure to give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. All right, God.
Trash.
All done.